Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we have our news roundup, as well as reviews of Borat 2 and Spell. And if you check your feed, there will also be an episode of the commentary for Sleepaway Camp. So check that out, because there's two episodes this week.
Very nice!
My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. I am really getting already tired of this second wave of Borat.
It's almost like a second wave of COVID. Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello, gents.
Well, guess what? You're going to hear more Borat, because we're going to be talking about it here in a little bit.
Goody, goody gumdrops.
You're so excited. I can feel it.
I'm ready to go. I'm pumped.
At the top, I just want to cover this base real quick. After this episode, Amanda is going to be off for the next couple weeks. So,
yes!
Peace out!
I'm sorry, what?
So,
there will be absolute silence from my mouth for 2 weeks, if you can believe it.
Telling you.
Yes!
Everyone is praising the Lord with which they believe.
I know John is. I think we lost him. He already left.
Screw it. I'm on vacation.
I'm just thinking about how great it'd be to actually be able to say words.
All right. Here's everything that happened over the past week in news. Saved by the Bell returns to the Peacock Network on November 25th, complete with many of the original cast. Adam Sandler is pairing up with Chernobyl helmer Rowan Renick for The Spaceman of Bohemia, about a man trapped in space with only an ancient creature to talk to. Oscar Isaac has been tapped to star in Disney Plus's Moon Knight series. There will also be a live-action Chip and Dale movie on Disney Plus, not the strippers. And Willow is also returning as a Disney Plus series with John M. Chu from Crazy Rich Asians directing. Jon Stewart is returning to TV on an Apple series called Current Affairs. The Meg 2 is a go with Jason Statham returning and Rebecca director Ben Wheatley directing. I assume the shark is going to be larger. Netflix's Mindhunter is probably done, according to David Fincher. Jared Leto and Joe Manganiello will both pop up in the Justice League Snyder cut, proving that it's not just what footage he had. He's basically making a whole new thing. A Smokey and the Bandit TV series is in the works, as is a Ginger Snaps TV series, which will follow a sister dealing with her sister, who's been bitten by a werewolf. And Netflix has announced a live-action Assassin's Creed series. John, of all of that, what are you most excited about?
I am actually the most excited about Jared Leto and...
Come on, man!
Yes, I'm excited about it. I am not even ashamed to be excited about it.
On. All of that stuff.
I'm disappointed.
New stuff, and you go to the oldest shit possible. Jared Leto, blah, 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 worst Joker
that's
ever.
That's what grinds your gears.
That's what gets
yes,
you excited.
That's exactly what grinds my gears.
Why are you excited?
What changes you from 6 to midnight. Really?
Well, I don't know about midnight. Maybe like, 7
10
and
o'clock?
A half.
Oh, okay.
He's old.
Still, unfortunate.
It moved a little bit. It twitched. All that other stuff is great. I love the idea of Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight. If they go ahead and do full-on crazy, batshit crazy Moon Knight, that'd be even better. But it's going to be on Disney Plus, so I don't think that's going to be the Moon Knight we're going to get. What else was there? The Assassin's Creed thing. Yay, great. Video game, movies, or a TV show on Netflix. It's probably going to be okay. And get 3 seasons, and then... people will fall in love with it and they'll go, oh, look, no. Mindhunter's not coming back? Oh, we knew that a year ago. We knew it wasn't coming back. Why do we have to sit here and try to like rehash the same story again? That's just one of those things that tells me we ran out of shit to say, so we're going to go ahead and talk about Mindhunter's not coming back, which we already said it wasn't a year ago.
We didn't have that confirmed. Okay, so why, and now it is confirmed, why are you excited? I guess we shouldn't trash... I just feel like we've talked about the Snyder Cut ad nauseum. So why are you excited to see Jared Leto come back when he was, in fact, and this has been scientifically proven, the worst Joker of all time?
Science is truth.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to sit there and poo-poo his anything about his Joker, because I don't feel like we saw enough of it besides like going, what? Oh, why does he have a grill or a tattoo on his forehead? Those are all things that are easy to retcon anyways. So it doesn't really matter.
That's part of his character. It counts, man. You can't just like not count it.
What, the tattoo? Like, you can easily retcon a tattoo. Like, it's called a handkerchief.
But the fact that you just said, I didn't think we got enough to see. How much do you need to see before you realize something sucks? I mean, I feel like that there's it hit the legal limit of whatever's required to know it sucks. I mean, put it this way. If he had as much screen time as he had marijuana, he would be going to jail for at least 20 years for intending to distribute.
Not in California.
I don't know. Not in California.
In California, sure. They'd be like, oh, you're a hero, man.
I'm just saying.
Pass. Let me get a toke off of it, bro. Let me get some of that. I don't know what pot is anymore.
I'm getting weird flashbacks to that episode you guys did where John talked like that the entire time when it was one of those throwback episodes.
Yeah. Bruh. Cha. I don't think he's the worst of the Jokers. I don't care enough about the rest of the Jokers. I just want to see more, and I don't care.
All right. Well, you'll get your wish. I mean,
you do, yeah. You, Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. You guys are the cool ones. What are you interested about?
I mean, you know, Deathstroke and that Snyder cut sounded pretty cool, but Jared Leto.
I said both of them. I said Jared Leto and Joe Manganiello coming back.
It's funny because that news came out like Jared Leto and then Joe Manganiello. And when Jared Leto came out, I said, well, I don't want to see that anymore. And then Joe Manganiello came out. And I'm like, oh, all right, I'm back in. So I think he did a really nice job of balancing that.
Yeah, the thing that gets me most excited about it is because we already know that Lex Luthor is going to be in it. So you've got Lex Luthor, the Joker, and then Deathstroke. That means that they could be hinting at some sort of I forget what the evil league of evil was for those guys.
Justice League Dark.
No, it wasn't Justice League Dark, but
the Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom, yes. It's the like the beginnings of the Legion of Doom that we can actually see, and that excites me to some degree.
All right, what about you, man? I think we've talked about Snyder Cut probably more than Snyder has.
Anybody wants to listen to?
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that trip my trigger, but I'm going to talk a little bit about Assassin's Creed.
Who wants to talk about that?
Let me just say,
it's new.
The movie was total shit.
Yeah, it was.
So I hope it's nothing like that because it was atrocious. But
well, hang on. The movie was every time they went back in time was really good fun.
That's true. You know what? That's a good point to mention.
Everything,
but the rest of it was
current times was awful.
Yeah. So my hope is, because I think this could be adapted into a really great series, and so I'm hoping that as long as they have the right people at the helm, that it'll turn into a great series and it'll finally turn things around for video game movies and TV shows. We shall see. My hopes are a little elevated, but my expectations are on the ground. So
a lot of hopes and dreams in there.
Yeah. What about you, AP?
I'm pretty well. Moon Knight. I love the character of Moon Knight, and I'm glad they're going to do a Disney Plus series. And Oscar Isaac is, I think, one of the best actors working today. And two, man, I mean, the Meg 2. I'm really excited about the Meg 2. Even though I just watched Rebecca Ben Wheatley directed that, and I thought that was a relative bore of a movie. That said, he also did Free Fire, which I thought was really, really fun. So still on board, and I think The Meg is a great book that became a fun movie, and I think could be even more fun if they just balls to the wall, just go for it. So I'm excited for that. I like the first movie a lot. I had a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of people that love the trash. I love shark movies, man. If you make them fun, I'm in. Willow's cool too, I guess.
I mean, there's good news with Adam Sandler too. We have hopes for more stuff coming from him.
Yeah, that's very artistic.
Yeah.
One, too. I mean, from the Chernobyl Helmer, that's like a big deal. And everybody keeps giving him crap for Hubie Halloween. Well, here, he's doing another
art project. That was a fun movie.
Project. What's that?
I liked it.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah. Boy, the critics were actually almost fair to it. Crazy.
Unlike
probably
Uncut
still pissed
Gems.
About Uncut Gems. No, the critics liked Uncut Gems, I think, for
they
the most
it.
Part.
Yeah, they loved it. It was fantastic.
It's artsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Minus that horrible score. It was a great movie.
True.
God, that score was awful. Ah, but you know what's not awful? Love and Monsters. And we have a winners Of the 5 digital copies that we have to give away.
Ooh, did I win?
Of Love and Monsters, you are not eligible. Those that won are Ashrak A, Stanley D, Andy Gonzalez, Justin Unger, and Amanda Spawn. So congratulations to you guys. Now we have another giveaway. So for our next giveaway, you probably want something spooky because it's around Halloween time. Well, this Halloween, prepare yourself for the terrifying suspense thriller Spell, starring Omari Hardwick from TV's Power and Loretta Devine. She's a great actress. Hardwick stars as Marcus, a man who awakens from a plane crash to find he is imprisoned by a mysterious woman practicing hoodoo magic. He is desperately trying to break free from her captivity to save his family from the sinister ritual that awaits. Spell's rated R and is from Paramount Pictures and is premiering at home on all digital platforms October 30th, so might be there right now, depending on when you listen to this. And we have 5 digital copies to give away, so if you want to enter this giveaway, here's what you got to do. Send an email to spell@thehollywoodoutsider.com, that's spell@thehollywoodoutsider.com, with your name and the subject line, I'm under your spell. Get it? No later than November 9th, or share this episode on either Facebook or Twitter with those words and tag The Hollywood Outsider, either way. Then we'll announce the winners on the November 11th episode. Ready?
Ready, Freddy.
You bastard.
Why am I a bastard?
Not you, yeah, John. He knows what he's doing. He keeps taking my line. I'm the one who's ready, Freddy.
Are you the one that knocks?
You guys are both idiots is what I'm getting. All right, so let's go to our spoiler-free reviews. First one is Borat, subsequent movie villain.
Yeah, so now available on Amazon Prime, you have Borat, which Amanda and Aaron sat down to watch. So I'll give you an idea of what it is. It's the follow-up to the 2006 comedy centering around the real-life adventures of a fictional Kazakhstan television journalist named Borat. Is that even a real sentence? Like a real-life adventures of a fictional character? All right. Anywho, Sacha Baron Cohen comes back and he plays Borat again. He says, "Very nice!" like a billion times. Amanda, Aaron, one of you two answer this question. Is it even funny?
We have a different opinion, so Amanda, you go
first. We do.
Yeah.
I liked it. Now, I had heard about what some of the content was prior to going in, and I was a little hesitant. I almost didn't watch it for that reason, which I'm sure we'll talk about, because it's a huge part of the plot. But I went into it kind of with low expectations, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty funny. I think it's mostly funny to me because so much of it really happened. You know, like these are basically real life skits, just like the first one. And so to think about these things happening in the United States just gave me a big old chuckle. And I like that they took one thing and made it into an entire scene and skit. And I laughed. I thought it was great. And they have actually some really good heart in the story too, but I thought it was funny.
Maria Baklava was golden. So she was very funny. I mean, the movie's funniest bits all stem from her. What Amanda's alluding to, and I'm just gonna dive right into it. The whole construct of the movie is Borat is gonna go to the United States to basically give a monkey and then his daughter away to Mike Pence or Donald Trump or whoever.
Mike Pence, so that way she can live like Melania does.
Yes, basically. And that'll basically be a nice payment for Kazakhstan. The only downside to this entire plot is it makes the entire movie, and yeah, people are going to, you can debate it if you want, but almost everything revolves around making fun of Trump supporters. And I realize that these people are making fun of themselves and da-da-da-da-da. But it's just like, I feel like I've seen this joke on Saturday Night Live 4 billion times over the last 4 years. So it was exhausting. I didn't find it nearly as funny. The stuff that was funny was all non-Trump, non-Republican related. I'm just tired of that joke. I just feel like, I get it. I get it, man. I mean, you're not doing anything different here. You're not doing anything new. The stuff that Maria Baklava does as Borat's daughter is mostly where all the funny comes in. Like, she is hilarious, legitimately hilarious. There's one part where she does a whole dance and she's on her period, and I think I laughed so hard during that moment. Like, it was just hysterical. That stuff was very, very funny. A lot of the other political stuff, I'm just burned out on it. So it didn't really get me nearly as much as the first Borat did.
Yeah, I'll agree with that at least. It's not It's not as funny as the first one. I think that first one was magic in a bottle, and I don't know that we're going to capture that again. But I do think that this was, the marketing on it was hilarious. The random, like, by the way, we're here. And when you go to Amazon Prime, there's like a whole row of what are you going to watch? And it's all Borat.
That's true.
And they just did some really funny things with it. And I personally, I know there is a political aspect that could rub you the wrong way or could make you chuckle, depending on how burnt out you are.
And what side you lean on. I mean,
and like, what side you lean on.
Can we be fair? If you happen to be Republican, I mean, it's got to be old by now. It's got to be I would be tired of it. And I'm tired of it. And I'm very down the middle. So I can't imagine if you're on that side, like, okay, I get it. Everybody, we're all this. We're all like, we're always this. This is what every kind of movie like this or SNL skit like this is always portraying. And it's just, I'm just tired of it. Like, that's not helping bring the country together. You know what I mean? And I'm just not looking for anything dividing people anymore. I'm just not.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And I would say that if it were politically reversed, it'd probably still make me laugh. But it's not, and I get what you're saying, and so this is probably something that it's definitely been done before, and not in this way, though. Like, there is the difference between, and this is not the, I think, the standard run-of-the-mill Republican or Trump supporters. This is definitely the more extreme of them, and that's what does typically get made fun of, and so that is continued here. But to think that these things really happened, that's the thing where it's like, holy crap, I can't believe this actually happened in real life and somebody's not in jail.
Going back to what some of his intentions were, like when it comes to the original Borat, his intention was to shine a light on how the country views Muslim people. And he feels like he was able to shine a light on that and show people the negative aspects of that. And his intention, again, here was to shine a light on the things of whatever he felt was negative about the parties he's going after. So it sounds like from what you guys are saying is that he might have too effectively done that to some degree, because somebody who's running down the middle like Aaron is just put off by the whole thing just because he's tired of seeing the division being thrown in everyone's face. Whereas Amanda, as someone who is enjoying those kind of people being laughed at and pointed at, it seems like you enjoy it.
Well, that's not what I would say. I would laugh at either side.
Well, now he has also gone on to say that he attempted to get more people from the left as far as some of the crazier stuff that happens on the left, but unfortunately was not nearly as successful with that side as he was with the other.
If he said that, I don't believe him for a second. There, everything in here is purposely going for the specific.
I mean, the plot is completely around that. I don't think I'd agree with that at all.
I would call that total BS.
The entire movie is built around this concept of making fun of the extremist on the conservative or Republican side. If he tried to get anything that made fun of the extremist left, then I didn't see this at all. It doesn't look like he even tried. I will 100% say that is, there's no freaking way, because he didn't even try to do that with some of the storyline. It seemed very obvious and directive.
Major plot points are toward him dressing up like Trump and breaking into a Pence rally and the whole Rudy Giuliani setup and da 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 da, which, yeah, you're not tucking your shirt in. But all of that, like, it's all very motivated toward that. You have an agenda, you have a goal, and it's fine. It's just like, that's your right. You have every right to do that. That's fine. I personally am just tired of it. I feel like if you are enjoying that and you just like to laugh at other people's expense, then it'll be right for you.
So that's about every single word we can get out of that review. So that being said, Aaron, Amanda, what if this was if $10 a full price of admission for this, what would you give it?
Probably $5.50.
I give it $5. It's almost exclusively for Maria Baklava. I think Borat could have been funnier.
So great.
She was great. Like, I really hope she finds a career from this.
The baby scene in the cupcake, I think was my favorite.
There's a baby in me.
Left so hard. I feel so bad. I put baby inside her. You're telling, that's not important. What's important is what we're doing now. And I was like, oh my God.
And there was, I do want to point out, like, yes, he's making fun of the extreme right for most of the movie, but where he does live with these two guys for 5 days, which actually happened according to him, where he lives with these QAnon extremist conspiracy theory guys. Like, they seem like legitimately nice guys. And he's actually gone in interviews and said they were very, very nice to him. So that was, I mean, that is a nice thing to at least show that, hey, they might think weirdly in terms of critical thinking, but they're very nice people. So let's cut them some slack. At least those two guys are. I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm just saying it was nice to see at least that was presented.
Yeah.
All right. The next movie is Spell, which we just talked about earlier.
We did. So just a recap of the synopsis. A man crash lands in rural Appalachia and awakens in the attic of a traditional hoodoo practitioner. He desperately tries to break free from her dark magic and save his family from a sinister ritual before the rise of the blood moon. Aaron, you saw this, which comes out to VOD on October 30th. And just a reminder, we are giving away copies. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the plot, because it sounds like it could be really dark, but it's actually listed as more of a thriller. So tell me about the tone of Spell.
I would absolutely go with that. I would agree. It is more of a thriller. It's kind of like a voodoo Misery is where I would put it. So if you've seen Misery, where you know the writer James Caan is taken by Annie Wilkes and he's basically semi-tortured to be held captive for whatever her nefarious means are. It's very similar to that, except it's centered around hoodoo magic. And so that's what it reminded me of for most of the movie, was a version of Misery centered around hoodoo magic.
The director, Mark, who you just mentioned a little bit ago, Mark Tondorey, who has only done one feature-length film, which was House at the End of the Street, mostly has done TV episode directing, which are drastically different filmmaking techniques. So did this feel like a film that was directed at the helm of a TV director?
Why is that? That's not even fair anymore. I mean, TV looks so cinematic anymore. I mean, they're very comparable. That's something that was probably more prevalent in the early 2000s or 90s. But yes, looks. I mean, it's an independent movie, so it's definitely, it's not independent, it's Paramount, but it's a lower budget. But it looks like a feature film. It's very cinematic. It's a smaller scale, but it's also a smaller cast. It's a smaller story, so you don't need that big, giant feel of big budget entertainment. I mean, it fits its bill.
And if the full price of admission were $10, what are you giving Spell?
I would give it $5.50, and I would explain. I think Omari Hardwick is, I've never seen Power, so I can't speak to that series, but I can tell you he's a fun actor to watch. I really enjoyed him. Loretta Devine has been around forever. I've never seen her play evil, so she was fun to watch play evil. And there's legitimately a couple cringy moments where I was in, that just happened, and it made me hurt a little bit. And that's always a good sign.
I was going to say, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. So I was entertained, even if it's not something that I would necessarily watch again. I was entertained for it. I think it's definitely a good rental for Halloween.
Awesome.
Thank you, everybody. Remember, subscribe and definitely share the show with your friends. We really do appreciate everybody listening. And if you check your feed, there will also be an episode of the commentary for Sleepaway Camp. Thanks so much. Remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.